WrestleMania 41 is officially in the books. What a show we saw, and what we saw in the aftermath of Monday Night Raw. Well, to be honest with you, it was absolutely fitting. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos. This is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and 6ix9ine Radio. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And now that we are past WrestleMania 41, clearly we look to the road for WrestleMania 42. Now, the road to WrestleMania 42 has not technically begun, but it has in fact technically begun. The road always starts the following day with Monday Night Raw. As a matter of fact, I'm already feeling one thing that could happen at WrestleMania 42. Maybe, just maybe, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Hey, based on what we saw, it could very well happen. Because let me tell you this, CM Punk and Seth Rollins, they are just getting started. As far as the original Tribal Chief goes, well, I'm not entirely sure where he goes from here, but we'll have to wait and see. Now, normally I do this whole thing with my good friend and business partner, Mr. Ricky, aka the Master of Mayhem. But because of some little bit of scheduling conflicts, it's not going to happen this time, unfortunately. But it happens. For those of you that don't know, I've actually finally found employment after being unemployed for just a very, very long time. So right now, I got to move my schedule around with my job and this and other commitments and other life events that take place. You know, all the curveballs that are thrown in life. So it's a challenge, but I'm fighting through it. And with everybody's love and motivation that I've received, all the love and support, it's really greatly appreciated, y'all. I really thank y'all so much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. I love you all. So I'm not going to go through everything. I'm just going to kind of get straight to the point with some details based on what we saw. Jey Uso becoming the new World Heavyweight Champion. Absolutely. I loved it. I loved getting out of my chair and joining in on the yeet. I will say I did not expect Jey Uso to make Gunther tap out. Gunther tapping out that way was totally, and I mean totally, unexpected. I basically would have expected Jey Uso to pin Gunther after performing three straight splashes, and that would be it. But no, apparently the decision was made that Gunther would lose by submission. But if that were the case, I figured maybe he would lose by technical submission, but some would say that would have made it worse for Gunther. But for him to tap out like that, I think that was pretty, well, some say it was pretty bad, but for me, in my case, I would say it was pretty, pretty unexpected. So congratulations to Jey Uso. It was a great match, a great way to start WrestleMania 41. So a great way to start Yeet Mania. So now as far as Gunther goes, well, of course, I saw there was a report that he attacked Pat McAfee out of frustration. Man, so as far as I'm concerned, well, it's good to have Jey Uso put the belt on him. There's no doubt in my mind that his father, Rikishi, is extremely happy. As a matter of fact, I'll never forget when Vince Russo criticized Jey Uso's promo after winning the Intercontinental Championship because Jey Uso got so emotional, and then Rikishi responded on his show, and Rikishi really went on a tear. At the same time, I totally, totally understand where Rikishi was coming from, because Rikishi was obviously defending his son, like any father would. So, anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is if Vince Russo obviously has something to say, well, I'm curious to know what he would have to say. And then, of course, obviously, Rikishi is going to respond. But let's wait. Anyway, next match, The New Day. Like I said, The New Day beating the War Raiders. Totally not surprising. Jade Cargill beat Naomi. Not surprised. Jacob Fatu becoming the new United States champion. Not surprised. So nothing really to say about those three matches. But El Grande Americano beating Rey Fénix. Man. You know, my friend Ricky and I, We're not really happy about it, because Rey Fénix just joins WWE, and then, you know, of course, you know, replaces Rey Mysterio, who suffered a legitimate injury, I think, the day before WrestleMania. So they decide to have El Grande Americano versus Rey Fénix, and Rey Fénix loses, and the way he lost was just, I didn't like that at all. I feel like they've already begun burying Rey Fénix, which is very, very, very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Man, I don't even know what to say about that, honestly. But the fact is, I mean, this whole particular storyline with El Grande Americano, well, it's entertaining to an extent, but Rey Fénix losing to El Grande Americano on WrestleMania, I think that was a bad, bad move. Now, something that's actually a really good move and something that I was very, very, very shocked, but in a very good way, Tiffany Stratton actually defeating Charlotte Flair. Everybody thought that Charlotte Flair would have the belt put back on her. So we were all praying for WWE to do the right thing and allow Tiffany Stratton to retain the championship. And WWE did, in fact, do the right thing. Now, there's been all that talk about these issues going on with Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte. And this is actually out of the storylines. This is out of kayfabe. Apparently, things look to be legitimate. And we saw a couple of things happen during the match. And many would insist that it was a lack of trust and lack of chemistry. Now, there was a couple of things we saw that really has us scratching our head and asking ourselves what is going on between the two. But Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair, I think, put up a solid match. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the decision as far as Tiffany Stratton retaining, well, you have to wonder, did Charlotte Flair heavily push for Tiffany Stratton to retain the championship? Or did Triple H make the decision on his own? Or was the whole entire creative team behind Tiffany Stratton and they decided that, nope, she's not going to drop the belt? I mean, whatever the case may be, the bottom line is WWE really surprised us when they made a decision to where Tiffany Stratton would not drop the belt to Charlotte Flair. And I think that's a good thing. No disrespect to Charlotte, not at all. But I think for Tiffany Stratton to lose the belt to Charlotte would have been horrible for Tiffany Stratton, considering how over she is with the fans. So I think Tiffany Stratton, I mean, especially the finish, I mean, Tiffany Stratton's finishing move, the way it's so, the way she executes it, you know, jumps and jumps off the rope and does that move, I absolutely love it. I always say that Tiffany Stratton really has a ability and personality of Harley Quinn when it comes to wrestling skills, especially the acrobatics, because Tiffany Stratton does in fact have a background in gymnastics, much like Harley Quinn. So, yeah, I really like putting a little bit of a Marvel and DC twist into pro wrestlers, especially with their persona and their moves and their talent and everything and their in-ring skills, especially with the acrobatic skills. So, basically, what I'm trying to say is that Tiffany Stratton is absolutely impressive. She's absolutely impressive, and she deserved to win at WrestleMania to retain the championship. So I'm very, very happy that WWE made the right decision in this particular situation. Now we get to the main event of night one. Well, my main prediction did not happen, but my second particular prediction did happen. And obviously, most of the credit has to go to Ricky on this one. Now, Ricky did, in fact, say that Seth Rollins would go over in this one. He did say that Seth Rollins would go over in this one and turn heel. Now, I officially predicted that CM Punk would win and he would turn heel with Paul Heyman officially betraying Roman Reigns. Now, that part I did get right, about Paul Heyman betraying Roman Reigns. I got that part right. But I also did say, that I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if Paul Heyman also betrayed CM Punk and aligned himself with Seth Rollins. Because how ironic would it be if Paul Heyman betrays Roman Reigns and aligns himself with the same man who betrayed Roman Reigns 11 years ago? I mean, Roman Reigns has been betrayed so many times. So many times. Man. I feel bad for the original Tribal Chief, no? But anyway, the way it was set up, I mean, a friend of mine who's an independent wrestler, Chandler Hopkins, basically said that is how a story is told, and Chandler is 100% correct. Yes, what happened in the main event of night one, Paul Heyman betraying Roman Reigns and betraying CM Punk, especially the way it was executed, that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you tell a story. Not only is that in how you tell a story, but that is how you keep the story going. And that's how you keep the story relevant. Ladies and gentlemen, what we saw in that triple threat match shocked us all. But damn it, that's what was best for business. For weeks and weeks and weeks, we waited for the moment for Seth Rollins to turn heel. It finally happened. Now, I did say that we just had never seen Seth Rollins with a manager, so why see it now? But you know what? There's always a first time for anything. Seth Rollins can carry himself very well as a babyface or as a heel, and he can speak for himself so well on the mic. That's why a lot of people say that Seth Rollins never needed a manager. But Seth Rollins, as great as he is as a wrestler, as great as he is as a speaker, you know what? Why not align him with one of the greatest managers of all time? Why not? two of the best talkers on the mic aligned together, hey, sign me up for that, baby. Absolutely, I want to see it. So this is an experiment that we're going to go ahead and try, and we'll see how it goes. So, and like I said at the very beginning, I'm already feeling that at WrestleMania next year, we're going to see CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. So if they basically spend the upcoming year building it and building it and building it, well, then you know what? Who knows? I mean, I'd imagine that the next encounter will probably be at SummerSlam between the two. I mean, I don't know. I really honestly don't know. I'm just absolutely astonished based on that match. I mean, that match was great. The triple threat match, man, unbelievable. And of course, there was a moment with Seth Rollins brought back a moment from 11 years ago, hitting Roman Reigns in the back with a chair. But the way the betrayals were so executed, betrayed CM Punk first, and then betrayed Roman Reigns, that's how perfectly executed it was. He betrays CM Punk and then hands the chair to Roman Reigns, okay? And Roman Reigns has a chance to once again hit Rollins with the back, in the back with a chair, just like Rollins did when he betrayed the Shield in 2014 in Indianapolis, as we remember. And then as Roman Reigns is about to have that moment, and then he is betrayed by CM Punk. And right before that, betrayed by Paul Heyman, excuse me. My head's just spinning right now with all the astonishment, all the amazement. I mean, right now, the adrenaline is so overwhelming right now. I'm not going to lie. All right. So CM Punk gets betrayed and gets hit with a low blow by Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman hands the chair to Roman Reigns and, of course, acknowledges him, refers to him as my tribal chief. Okay? And then Paul Heyman tells Roman to get after Rollins. And as Rollins gets ready to do it, well, Paul Heyman hits the low blow on Roman Reigns as well. And boom, we are in absolute shock. An absolute shock. But again, that is how you tell a story. Man. Rollins gets with a chair, hits the curb stomp, and then pins Roman Reigns and wins the match. Man. As a matter of fact, Becky Lynch, his wife, posted a reaction on Twitter after the match, and we saw it. Well, I don't know if it was her or if it was WWE.com or WWE's Twitter that posted it, but we saw that reaction from Becky Lynch. And speaking of Becky Lynch, well, of course, what happened on Raw, well, we'll get to that. Man, unbelievable way to end night one. Well, night two started off with an absolute banger. Io Sky retaining the championship against Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. Well, I'm glad it happened this way. I really am. And from what I understand now, it was just so interesting to see how Bianca Belair was actually being booed. But that's no surprise because, you know, we expected her to turn heel. Now, I got to be honest with you. This is going to disappoint a lot of you, but I actually did not get a chance to watch Night 2 because I was actually working on Sunday, and yesterday I had a lot of things going on, so I was not able to actually watch Night 2, but I did see as much as I can, you know, get as much information as I can. So I apologize. I'm kind of doing this, you know, after not being able to have watched Night 2, nor did I get to watch Raw, but it's just that there's been so many things going on, you know, over the last couple of days with work and some things in my personal life. But again, look, I have to do this episode on this day because, you know, of course, part of a commitment and a deal I have with my good friend and my business partner, Mr. Ricky. So I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best. I promise. So Io Sky retaining is not surprising to me. But from what I understand, based on some reports that I've read, Bianca Belair was heavily booed. So if she didn't turn heel at WrestleMania, then I imagine the heel turn has to have been coming. You know, kind of looking up right now, well, as far as I'm concerned, well, there's nothing really anything. They mentioned that there's an injury. Maybe that's why she didn't win, but I don't know. I mean, there's all these things about an injury, and then, I mean, she said that she suffered an injury at WrestleMania, so, man. So, I don't know. I mean, Sports Kita 22 hours ago said that, reports say that she suffered an injury at WrestleMania 41. So, said it would be a finger injury, but, I mean, if the injury was during the match, probably still would have expected her to win, but obviously that didn't happen. But from what I understand, that she was booed also. As far as Rhea Ripley, well, it doesn't surprise me that she didn't win the match, because again, Io Sky has to go over in this one. But again, I do plan on going back to watching Night 2. Now, I'm not the kind of person, if you tell me the results, it doesn't spoil it for me. It really doesn't. Now, I do need to go see the matches themselves to kind of get the full glimpse. Now, and I apologize that I'm doing this episode after not being able to watch night two or watch the Raw recap, but I did read a lot of reports and have some friends give me some information. It's just that this show has to go on, and I'm just willing to make the sacrifices and take these bigger challenges, but I hope everybody understands that my situation. It's just that, you know, I worked on Sunday. I literally worked from 4 p.m. to like 2 in the morning. I mean, that's what happens when you work as a barback, especially, you know, on these Sunday nights. I mean, it was Easter and it was expected to be slow, but it actually picked up a little bit. But it was my first time closing as a barback because in my previous run, I always opened. I never closed. So, yeah. But I think I did fine. But I think I'll be fine. But the first match, you know, starting it out with a triple threat match. I mean, you end night one with a triple threat match. You start night two with a triple threat match, especially, you know, starting it off with a championship. I mean, you kick off both nights with a World Heavyweight Championship on the line. I mean, that's the great way to do it. The great way to do it. So after that, Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest in a Sin City street fight. Well, I'm not surprised that Drew McIntyre is the one that went over in this one. Now, especially because last year, Damian Priest cashed in the Money in the Bank to take the title from Drew McIntyre. So this particular thing's been building up for a year, and then we saw the whole thing basically take it up a notch at the Royal Rumble. So McIntyre now goes over and gets his revenge on Damian Priest for taking his title the previous year at WrestleMania. Damian Priest had his moment, which he deserved. And Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre really put on some good matches. I mean, I did see some of the clips. I even saw a tweet that Drew McIntyre posted, you know, of a selfie that was taken during the match when he was saying that he was still bored at work. So I did see some of the parts of the match, but I didn't get the whole thing. So I need to go back and see it, But so for now, unfortunately, not really much to say about between the match between McIntyre and Priest. But obviously, I can honestly say that the storyline made sense. And it was a year in the making because, again, the previous year, Drew McIntyre beat Seth Rollins for the title. Of course, Drew McIntyre was building up that rivalry with CM Punk. So once that was over, Drew McIntyre was able to shift his focus on Damian Priest. So I think it was definitely built in a respectable way. And then we get to the Fatal 4-Way match for the Intercontinental Championship. Who would have expected Dominic Mysterio to win the title? He betrayed Finn Balor. Now, I have the Raw results from Bleacher Report, but again, we'll get to that when I'm done kind of going with the card for WrestleMania. Finn Balor betrayed, and he was the one basically about to pin Bron Breakker. After executing the coup de grace, Dominic Mysterio, out of nowhere, executes the frog splash and steals the win from Finn Balor. Hey, pretty smart on Dominic's part, right? But all the weeks of tensions between Dominic and Finn Balor, we knew it would come to this point that Finn Balor would be the one to be betrayed. Man, oh man. Yeah, well, whether you like Dominic Mysterio or not, he's a very talented wrestler. I mean, you look at everybody that he's been trained by, okay? Dominic Mysterio has been trained by Jay Lethal, Conan, Lance Storm, and of course, his father, Rey Mysterio, and also been trained at the WWE Performance Center. But for him to be trained by Jay Lethal, Conan, Lance Storm, and Rey Mysterio? Yeah, whether you like the guy or not, Dominic Mysterio is a very, very good worker, okay? Of course, getting all that heat as a heel, you know, he's able to get that heat. Dominic Mysterio is pretty good at his job. Of course, we know what happened on Raw as well. Again, we'll get to that. I mean, the Judgment Day is really headed towards a new chapter. And obviously, Finn Balor no longer being there based on what happened. Well, again, the curiosity has built in. So again, with Dominic Mysterio winning the way he did, it's been said before, ladies and gentlemen, that is how you tell a story. Man. So now where does Bron Breakker go from here? I don't know. Where does Penta go from here? I don't know. Now, Penta was not pinned. So, but again, you know, for the fact that Rey Fénix and Penta came up short at this WrestleMania, this has a lot of wrestling fans upset about it. To be honest with you, many believe that Penta should have been the one to go over in this one. Now, the fact that Dominic Mysterio went over and nobody expected it, again, that is how you tell a story. That is how you tell a story. Now, well, speaking of a story, well, obviously Randy Orton really has been in quite a story lately. Randy Orton issuing an open challenge, and his opponent, well, who saw this coming? Joe Hendry, the TNA champion, the TNA world champion, Joe Hendry being Randy Orton's surprise opponent in the open challenge. Surprise, this match only lasted 3 minutes. So Joe Hendry, as far as I'm concerned, was squashed. So that right there is another questionable decision made by WWE management. This has a lot of people upset about it. Joe Hendry, the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, being squashed by Randy Orton? Okay, maybe Joe Hendry did not need to win. Maybe he didn't need to win, but he didn't need to lose that quick. He did not need to lose that fast, did he? No. So, and as far as what Randy Orton did on Raw the following night, which we'll get to, well, they had to do something with Randy Orton. They really did, but again, Randy Orton going over is not the issue. Randy Orton going over is great. That's the right decision, but for Joe Hendry to lose in 3 minutes? I mean, I don't know. Now, there's something furthermore I have to say about it, but I'm gonna wait till we get to the Raw thing. But Randy Orton beating Joe Hendry in 3 minutes was just definitely unexpected. I mean, it was more unexpected that he was going to wrestle Joe Hendry, the TNA World Champion, but for the match to happen in 3 minutes? I mean, that right there is a questionable call. Well, then we get to Logan Paul beating AJ Styles. Well, that's actually no surprise, because I expected Logan Paul to go over in this one. And as far as I'm concerned, kind of looking at some information right here, AJ Styles and Logan Paul, I mean, basically, from what I understand, the match was an absolute thriller. I mean, Paul performing, you know, his wrestling move, man, it's just, man, his finisher move is just absolutely incredible. Logan Paul, amazing on the mic and a tremendous worker. I mean, you know, a lot of people, like, a lot of wrestling fans have expressed their displeasure and celebrities being brought in, but, you know, Logan Paul trained well, you know, great speaker on the mic, so, man. So Logan Paul has really kind of honestly earned his chances, you know, to have the title, the U.S. title put on him, to be featured in high caliber matches. But the match between Logan Paul and AJ Styles, you know, honestly was a thriller. Honestly, well, I think, you know, obviously, you know, Karrion Kross basically got involved from what I understand. But according to this, Karrion Kross, well, it says somewhere there where Styles attempted a 450 splash, but Paul got his knees up and performed his own Styles Clash on Styles, who performed the same move on Paul. Afterwards, Jeff, a member of Paul's entourage, appeared with brass knuckles, but Karrion Kross took them away. Styles sent Jeff into the barricade and tossed the brass knuckles away before punching Kross. Styles attempted the phenomenal forearm, but Paul ducked and performed the lucky punch and the pulverizer on Styles to win the match. Man. I forgot to mention, Stone Cold Steve Austin actually made an appearance in Night 2 and actually had a funny moment where he crashed his ATV in the freaking barricade. So, yeah, you know, kind of getting off topic a little bit because, you know, kind of mentioned, you know, the thoughts, you know, what happened between Paul and AJ Styles. So I would imagine that AJ Styles and Karrion Kross, a program between the two is coming very, very soon. I would imagine that Styles versus Karrion Kross at WrestleMania, at SummerSlam, has to be in talks right now. But it just seems like the way the match ended was just absolutely amazing. And again, I'm not surprised that Logan Paul is the one that went over, because, you know, as great as AJ Styles is, I think Logan Paul deserved to go over in this one. Now, is AJ Styles finished with Logan Paul? Well, that I'm not sure, because right now I don't know exactly who Logan Paul pairs off with. You know, someone insists maybe he goes back to feuding with CM Punk. I mean, I don't know, but right now, CM Punk is obviously going to be feuding with Seth Rollins, you know, for a very long time, especially because of the whole Paul Heyman situation. But as far as Logan Paul goes, I don't know. I really honestly don't know. Now, before I get to the next one, of course, Stone Cold came out to announce that Night 2's attendance was 63,226 people. But, and of course, speaking of the attendance and things like that, there's actually something I'll talk about, but we'll have to wait. But and this was actually, I think, before the main event. But before that was the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. And apparently, Bayley did not participate, I think, from a storyline injury. And she was replaced by Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch finally made her return after being on a hiatus that lasted nearly a year. So Lyra Valkyria teaming with Becky Lynch to beat Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. Well, for that WrestleMania moment, it made sense, but what happened the following night, which we'll get to, I mean, well, I think it had to happen this way. So, as far as, you know, Bayley not being featured for WrestleMania really has us in shock, but from what I understand, it's a storyline injury, but some would say maybe it is a real-life injury. I don't know. Didn't see anything as far as that goes, but again, I mean, I was actually pretty shocked when I saw this, but I think basically, now some would say it's because of the contract situation, but I don't know. But WrestleZone says that there's an injury, so it was a dislocated shoulder and a labrum tear as a result of a backstage attack during WrestleMania. So, okay, so this is obviously storyline, right? So, of course, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez would deny any wrongdoing. So, honestly, based on what happened on Raw, well, let's wait for it. Let's wait for it. So, Lyra Valkyrie and Becky Lynch shocked the world, and they beat Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for the Tag Team Championship. So, that's pretty much it. Now, of course, the main event, John Cena beats Cody Rhodes for the title, which is no surprise. But there's one thing we have to say about this one. Well, now, as far as I do have some notes from this one, well, obviously, this is for the Undisputed WWE Championship. Man, never forget, you know, basically how great this match was, and I have to go back and see it now. Man. So, because I didn't actually see the match, now, from some notes, there was actually, I think there's a total of four attitude adjustments that were performed by John Cena and Cody Rhodes. Travis Scott obviously appeared, and then basically, after Cody Rhodes performed a crossroads on Cena, Scott pulled the referee out of the ring, so obviously there's some interference. And then Rhodes performed a cross on Travis Scott. And then basically after that, John Cena performed a low blow on Rhodes and hit him with a bell to win the match. Man. So the way the match ended, of course, John Cena performs a low blow and hits him with a belt, of course, because he's a heel. Now, again, I didn't see the match. Again, I apologize because I'm doing the recap, you know, after not being able to watch Night 2 and then not being able to watch Raw because, again, work got involved. And then on Monday, it just I had a really, really, really bad day that was just so overwhelming and on me mentally and physically. So I had to get some sleep. I had to get some rest, and I had to skip it, but here I am kind of, you know, reading based off these particular news wrestling sources. Man, four attitude adjustments. Man, and Cody Rhodes was still, you know, not being beat from that. And that's when Travis Scott appeared. I think the whole thing out of this is the fact that the final boss never, ever appeared in this one, which makes absolutely no sense. John Cena turns heel and joins forces with The Rock. But The Rock, the final boss, does not appear in any of the segments. Doesn't even appear in this match. I mean, what the hell? Seriously, what the hell? What the hell? What sense does that make for the final boss to not be involved? I mean, again, he's got his movie career, he's part of the board of directors and whatnot, but why would the final boss not be involved in the storyline moving forward? After the moment John Cena turned heel? Seriously, it doesn't make any sense. It does not make any sense. I mean, there goes Ricky's ultimate prediction, because Ricky said at the end that John Cena would be the new champion, and John Cena, The Rock, and Jey Uso would be standing tall in the ring at the end to basically form a stable, like in the Attitude Era, the Corporation. So there goes Ricky's big prediction right there. But I'm seriously, The Rock not being involved? Like, what the hell? What the hell? Man, it's just so dumb. It's just so dumb that The Rock was not involved in this one. Man. And honestly, one source said that for Night 2, the main event, said that basically it was lame for Travis Scott to be the tipping point for Cena to win when nobody cares about him in the WWE context. Now, Cena winning wasn't a surprise because as it seemed that it was logical in the chapter of the Cena retirement story. I mean, honestly, Cody Rhodes was actually being booed. Cody Rhodes is actually being booed. And I think when John Cena became the champion, he actually got a huge amount of cheering. Man. And especially because, again, The Rock was not there. I mean, it was just absolutely disappointing. Absolutely disappointing. So, it was actually on Raw where Gunther took his frustrations out on Pat McAfee. Yeah, it was on Raw. So, of course, in the aftermath, man. Well, before I get into that, you know, Stone Cold made the announcement. Well, WrestleMania 41 actually tops WWE in viewership, sales, and social views. I mean, so all the social views has got some information, but WWE announced that WrestleMania 41 is the most successful and highest grossing event in the promotion's history. Obviously, did better than last year. So let me say it again. WWE announced, okay, and this is from an ESPN source that was that basically released a story a couple hours ago. WWE announced Tuesday that WrestleMania 41 is the most successful and highest grossing event in the promotion's history. According to a statement from WWE, the annual event drew a total of over 120,000 people across both nights at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. The main event of the first night saw Seth Rollins defeat Roman Reigns and CM Punk, as we know, while John Cena became the new undisputed WWE champion to become the champion for the 17th time. Viewership was also up for the premium live event as WrestleMania 41 saw an increase of 114% over the record set at WrestleMania 40 last year. The event was live streamed in the United States on Peacock and available to a global audience of over 700 million Netflix subscribers, courtesy of the 10-year rights deal WWE courtesy of the 10-year rights deal signed with WWE in January of this year. Man, of course, WWE's partnership with Fanatics also provided a massive bump in merchandise sales, an increase of over 45% versus the previous all-time event record set by WrestleMania 40 last year. So WrestleMania 41 is the highest grossing event of all time. Man, of course, WWE shop is part of the Fanatics experience. Man, oh boy. And WrestleMania 41 became the most socially viewed WWE event of all time. 1.1 billion social views throughout the weekend, and WWE's YouTube channel having its most viewed day ever on Sunday. Man, man, what a change ever since Vince McMahon left the picture. Man, unbelievable, unbelievable. Whew. So many things just happened to be absolutely incredible. Well, night one, well, I don't know where to start, but we'll start right here. So we'll start with the 17-time champion was here. Raw opened, of course, with a video package that recapped everything that happened at WrestleMania. Well, John Cena came out to the ring, and of course, the title was backwards. Man, the crowd actually was cheering him. Man, the fact that they booed him, they booed him last Friday on SmackDown, and then they cheered him when he won the title. So the crowd was actually chanting, "We are sorry." And basically, John Cena responded by calling the crowd sorry lowlives, okay? And then he proceeded to say that the crowd means nothing to him. So the crowd goes from chanting, "We are sorry," to chanting, "Asshole, asshole, asshole." I mean, there you go. That's how you control the crowd. That's when you have the crowd in your palm, baby. That is when you have a grip on that crowd and you basically change them just like that. That's amazing. To have the crowd go from chanting, "We are sorry," to chanting, "Asshole," that's unbelievable. John Cena wraps it up. Who appears right behind him and proceeds to hit him with the RKO? Of course, Randy Orton. Randy Orton, the one to appear behind him and hit him with the RKO out of nowhere and to indicate that he is going to challenge for the title. It doesn't surprise me because we all know the history between Randy Orton and John Cena. But what's funny, well, I shouldn't say that it's funny. What's actually different this time is that Randy Orton is the face. John Cena is the heel. Because of all the times that we had seen John Cena and Randy Orton feud in the past, Randy Orton was always the heel. Randy Orton was always the heel when he feuded with John Cena in the past. Now, Randy Orton is the babyface. And of course, speaking of Randy Orton, after the match with Joe Hendry, after there was, you know, the handshake and the hug and whatever, he performs a RKO on Joe Hendry out of nowhere. So while Joe Hendry was squashed, Randy Orton provided Joe Hendry with a unique WrestleMania moment. So at least something good came out of it, right? Especially in Joe Hendry's case. Now the promo that John Cena delivered was absolutely solid, okay? He obviously solidified his position further as a heel and set up his next feud in the process. Obviously, Orton being the logical challenger makes sense because of the long history as rivals, so obviously this is going to be entertaining. Now, obviously, I don't expect Randy Orton to become the new champion. Do I expect Randy Orton to have another world title run? It could very well happen, but I'm not sure. Now, as far as how long John Cena holds the belt, well, because he's in his final year, I expect John Cena to lose the belt at SummerSlam, but I don't know who it's going to be against. But the fact that Cody Rhodes got booed, could that convince me to go back to what I predicted earlier this year, that Cody Rhodes would be the one to turn heel at WrestleMania? Well, if Cody Rhodes continues to get booed, then that would certainly lead up to a heel turn, but I don't know. I really honestly don't know. But the crowd really did make the segment work. Again, especially because they went from chanting, "We are sorry," to chanting, "Asshole, asshole, asshole." Man. Oh, yeah. That was a great way to start Raw. So, and then we had the rematch for the Women's Tag Team Championship, which Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez reclaimed. But that's not the big picture. The big picture is that what happened after the match, Becky Lynch attacked Lyra Valkyria and turned heel. Now, you have to wonder this. You have to wonder that this was going to happen sooner or later because Seth Rollins is heel again. So if Seth Rollins is heel, well, then his wife, Becky Lynch, ought to be heel as well. It makes perfect sense for Becky Lynch to turn heel, especially on Lyra Valkyria, considering the history, what we saw happen in NXT in late 2023, when Lyra Valkyria defeated Becky Lynch to become the NXT Women's World Champion. So that's a story that's finally being reassumed, okay? That story is being picked up. So, man, that story has been revived. So I would imagine that this is going to be a build-up, and this is probably going to conclude at SummerSlam. Now, for right now, I expect Becky Lynch to take the Intercontinental Championship, the Women's Intercontinental Championship from Lyra Valkyria, although some would say that that is completely unnecessary. If Becky Lynch intends to put over Lyra Valkyria, then I would imagine that she's not going to win the title, but I don't know how this particular story is going to... I don't know what to expect. I really, honestly, do not know what to expect. Now, a one-day title reign is never really the best thing, but at the end of the day, it told us a story. Again, that's how you tell a story. Becky Lynch attacking Lyra Valkyria and blaming her for the loss. So, Becky Lynch turning heel, attacking Lyra Valkyria after losing the titles the night after they won them at WrestleMania. Again, that is how you tell a story. So, obviously, that means that Becky Lynch will, in fact, be chasing the Intercontinental Championship. And I do honestly believe that she will, in fact, beat Lyra Valkyria. So we'll see. I mean, could you imagine? Becky Lynch wins the Women's Intercontinental Championship and then drops the belt back to Lyra Valkyria at SummerSlam. A lot of fans would probably not be in favor of it because some would say it doesn't make any sense, but I just don't know exactly what to expect. So, man, as far as this is concerned, so. And, you know, one of the great things about Becky Lynch is she does not look rusty at all. I mean, again, I saw some of the social views. I mean, that's how I got a lot of the information that I have. And, of course, a lot of the reading. So, a lot of journalism work. But Becky Lynch does not look rusty at all. I mean, she looks fantastic. Looks absolutely fantastic. So, seeing where Becky Lynch and Lyra go from here is absolutely exciting. But most of all, we're all honestly wondering where the Judgment Day goes from here. So after that, there was a segment where Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods came out to celebrate their winning the tag team titles. Man, of course, Alpha Academy came out to interrupt. So then you would think that Alpha Academy would be the next challengers. There was actually, according to the Bleacher Report, there was actually about to have a match for the tag titles after some back and forth talk. But guess who made his return to WWE officially? That's right, Rusev. Rusev. So the New Day obviously escaped the ring, and then Tozawa and Otis were left to take a beating from the Bulgarian Brute. The crowd started chanting Rusev Day. And, well, based on what we saw, I mean, Rusev is obviously a heel, right? But obviously the fans still don't care. The fans are still going to cheer him. I mean, how many times have we seen the Raw after WrestleMania where the heel gets cheered and the babyface gets booed, right? So, but Bleacher Report is not particularly satisfied with how Rusev was brought back in. They basically described it as a quote, they said this is what they said, and I quote, "This was a weird way to bring Rusev back while teasing a tag title bout, but the crowd loved it and he looked like a beast, so it accomplished its goal," unquote. I agree. Rusev obviously has no music. I mean, so obviously he's back to being the Rusev name. I would expect him to be Miro, but right now, as far as his gimmick goes, I don't know exactly what the gimmick is, if he's God's favorite champion. If it's Rusev Day, I mean, it's obviously not the Russian gimmick, but I don't know exactly what to make of it. I really honestly don't. So, anyway, not really much to say about that, but it's good to see that Rusev is back in WWE, but you have to wonder, like, where does he go from here? I mean, he attacked Alpha Academy. He made Otis pass out. The crowd obviously loved it, so we'll see. Well, then we get to Io Sky. Well, Io Sky versus Stephanie Vaquer. Well, how exciting is that? Io Sky came out to celebrate the big win at WrestleMania. She called it the best night of her career because she proved that she is the best. Stephanie Vaker, I hope I'm saying it correctly, Stephanie Vaker made a surprising appearance, and Sky had a big smile on her face. Vaker said that she respects Sky, but she wants to face the best, which means that she wants to face Io Sky. Adam Pearce came out and made the match happen. So, man, see, this is the part where I really regret the most. I really wish I could have watched Raw before doing this episode, but as I'm doing this episode, I'm actually getting ready to go to work. So basically, as soon as this episode's out, as soon as this episode's done, yep, I gotta go to work immediately. So obviously, I had to do what I had to do. So the match, again, from Bleacher Report, started with some simple takedowns and counters. Again, something we would expect from those two. The match actually started getting better and better and better, and the match actually ended in a no contest because Julia showed up and attacked Stephanie Vaker. But not only that, but, I forget exactly who also came out. Now, yeah, I have to mention, looking at it from here, Roxanne Perez actually is the one who actually caused the disqualification. So Roxanne Perez came out, so you'd expect that Roxanne Perez is probably coming after Io Sky, so I guess Io Sky's upcoming feud is against Roxanne Perez. Now, as we know, Julia actually showed up and attacked Stephanie Vaker after Roxanne Perez took out Io Sky. Although, Rhea Ripley ran to the ring and took out Perez before having a standoff with Julia that ended with the NXT star backing down. So again, Julia recently turned heel on NXT after, not long after she lost the title. So Julia turned heel. I think one of the reasons why she turned heel, or if it's not the main reason, is because Stephanie Vaker got more over than Julia did, so I guess that's why they decided to turn Julia heel. But, you know, I've got nothing but love and respect for Julia and for Vaker. They're both absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm a huge fan of Julia, so whether she's a heel, whether she's a face, you know what? I'm always excited to see her perform. But, again, I'm sorry for the confusion, because, again, this has been a huge thing, because I didn't get to watch this, so if someone asks why are you even bothering, and Why do I have to rely on these notes and sources? Look, I'm just trying to keep the show going. But, so, Roxanne Perez appears out of nowhere to cause the disqualification to end the match abruptly. I mean, it's a bad way to end the match, but then again, if Stephanie Vaker being pinned, and then Io Sky being pinned, that would have been bad. So, obviously, the no contest should have been the way to go. So, the match to end in a chaotic no contest makes absolute sense. So right now we can expect Roxanne Perez to maybe feud with maybe Rhea Ripley for the time being and Io Sky. I would imagine Roxanne Perez and Rhea Ripley are going to have a match soon to determine the number one contender. So it was a great match that showed two extremely talented female wrestlers. I mean, two very talented wrestlers who haven't worked together much and that put up a great impromptu performance. So you have two amazing female wrestlers, Stephanie Vaker and Io Sky. Same thing with Roxanne Perez, Julia and Rhea Ripley. All basically, you know, starting a whole story and telling the story right there. Again, based on what we saw from this, again, that's how you tell a story. So seeing Io Sky and Stephanie Vaker to work a good match like that, you see, for me, being a strong and vocal supporter of women's wrestling, you know, it made me very proud. It makes me very, very proud. So Julia shows up and attacks Vaker after the match, after Perez took out Io Sky, but then Rhea Ripley runs to the ring to take out Perez before having a standoff with Julia, and Julia basically backs down. So again, so now that we don't even know what to expect, you know, moving forward, I mean, that's what makes the whole particular thing exciting. Man, I didn't mention the last time that these two fought in a match, it wasn't a Royal Rumble, it was in Mexico in 2012. So I assume this is between Stephanie Vaker and Io Sky wrestling in Mexico in 2012. So, and some of the history again. I mean, this is exciting. This is absolutely exciting. You have to ask yourself, are you not entertained? So, after that, Jey Uso comes out, man, to a huge response after the WWE aired a video package hyping his win at WrestleMania. Man, hitting the ring so everybody could yeet the crowd one more time. Well, Jey Uso spoke for a little while about what winning the title meant to him. Sami Zayn joined him in the ring and gave him a hug. Zayn and Uso deserves to be the champion after everything he has done. I mean, that's what Zayn said. Zayn said that Uso deserves to be champion after everything he has done, and the crowd agreed, and then Jimmy, of course, came out to join in on the celebration. Well, according to this, well, he didn't get emotional. So, of course, when I talked about Vince Russo and Rikishi earlier after that promo Jey Uso cut after winning the Intercontinental Championship, you know, well, basically, Bleacher Report says it was almost surprising that this ended with anyone else interrupting or trying to claim the first shot against Jey Uso. Man, yes, this moment definitely deserved to stand on its own. Well, so right now, I'm not sure exactly where Gunter goes from here. Man, speaking of that, you know, as far as Gunter goes, well, I think after that, I mean, Gunter, after the commercial, like, Gunter was yelling at Michael Cole. He shoved Pat McAfee, and he put Cole in a choke. Pat McAfee fired off a shot to break it up before a bunch of officials came down, and then Gunter grabbed McAfee and choked him out. Man. Yeah, the ring general is not happy at all. That, well, honestly, again, you have to ask yourself, where does Gunter go from here? Wouldn't be surprised if he was given a storyline suspension, being suspended in storyline for his attack. So, man. Well, Michael Cole went back to the announce desk while Joe Tessitore actually filled in for Pat McAfee for the main event. Well, if this was particularly the main event of the show, but, well, to fill in for the main event. So, then we get to Dominic Mysterio versus Penta. Well, Dominic Mysterio defending his newly won Intercontinental Championship against Penta, and Mysterio actually defeated Penta. See, now people are really pissed off. Penta suffering his first singles loss, losing to Dominic Mysterio. I mean, Bleacher Report gave this match a C. Man, of course, a notable moment from this is that a confrontation backstage between Karrion Kross and AJ Styles. Like I said earlier, there's going to be a program now between the two. Well, Finn Balor and Carlito accompany Dominic. So Finn Balor is okay. I didn't see anything about a segment back there. I mean, there had to have been a segment, right? There had to have been a segment between the Judgment Day, right? But apparently the Bleacher Report doesn't mention that. So, honestly, so Finn Balor was still accompanying Dirty Dom? Wow. So, well, obviously, Dirty Dom, Balor ended up trying to get in the match, but, you know, Penta hit a Hurricanrana on Balor that sent him into Dom at ringside. But as Penta was about to hit a big move, JD McDonagh appeared and knocked him off the top rope. This allowed Dom to hit the frog splash and get the win. Man. So obviously Penta lost after interference. So JD McDonagh came back. So, I mean, he had been hurt for a while. Man. So, of course, one of the notable moments and observations, quote, "It will be interesting to see how long it takes WWE to let Penta and Rey Fénix be a tag team again. The company has made no attempt to hide their partnership, so it shouldn't be too long before they are chasing the tag titles." Man. But seriously. I just cannot see why this match had to go this way. I mean, JD McDonagh appeared, so. But right now, I'm confused because, again, I don't know exactly what's happening right now with the Judgment Day, but because Finn Balor attempted to interfere and. And of course, Sportskeeda says that Finn Balor accidentally turned babyface on Raw. Okay. I don't even know what to say about that. So this is from Sportskeeda. So I'm going to pull this up. The final word, I mean, there was a final segment that featured Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman. Before I get into that, this whole thing, Finn Balor accidentally turned babyface on Raw. Man, said that he fumbled a booking. Man. So Mysterio again defended the Intercontinental Championship against Penta. Dirty Dom looked to be down and out before JD McDonagh returned and pushed Penta off the top rope. And then, of course, Dominic used the 619 and the frog splash to retain the title. After the match, all the Judgment Day members celebrated together while Balor preferred to stand aside and watch. Well, not really much to say about that. But, of course, you know, all the times that he's been at odds with Dirty Dom, so... Well, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, Finn Balor could be kicked out of the group soon. I mean, I would have expected him to be kicked out of the group on Raw, especially like that. I would have expected the baby turn to happen immediately. So I would imagine in the coming weeks, well, there's going to be a huge change in the Judgment Day because, you know, they have the Intercontinental Championship. They have the Women's World Tag Team Championship again. And JD McDonagh is back. So I don't know exactly where the Judgment Day goes from here. I really honestly don't, but especially with everything involving Finn Balor. I guess we'll just have to wait and see how things go, but anyway. But you know, the final segment of Raw was Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman coming to the ring to discuss what happened at WrestleMania. And before Rollins could honestly say much, CM Punk's music hit, and he came out looking for a fight. CM Punk did, in fact, beat down Seth Rollins in the corner and then turned his attention to Heyman, although the Visionary took him down, and Paul Heyman said that Rollins is now the top star in the entire industry. And then Roman Reigns' music hit, and he came out looking just as angry as Punk was. So the original Tribal Chief hit Rollins with a spear and then knocked down Heyman with a Superman punch and lined up for a spear, but he ended up getting speared by Bron Breakker out of nowhere, and then Breakker hit Punk with one when he tried to hit the ring too. Rollins hugged Breakker to reveal what appears to be a new partnership. Wow. Look at that. Look at that. Seth Rollins in alliance with Bron Breakker, both aligned with Paul Heyman. So you can honestly say that Bron Breakker is a Paul Heyman guy. Honestly, this is cool. This is so cool. Bron Breakker as a Paul Heyman guy? Why not? Why not? Man, Breakker hitting Punk with a spear. You know, so Roman Reigns gets speared by Bron Breakker, and then Punk gets the same thing. Rollins hugs Breakker to reveal, again, a partnership. Man. And then he ran around the ring and hit Reigns with another spear that put Reigns through the barricade. So the Raw after Mania ended with Rollins and Breakker standing tall over CM Punk and Roman Reigns. Wow. 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 What a way to end the show. Rollins associated with Bron Breakker. Both of them aligned with Paul Heyman. CM Punk and Roman Reigns down and out, while Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins stand tall. I mean, there's always a good way to end the match when the heels are the ones standing tall and not the baby faces. Not the baby faces. Man. Man, oh man, oh man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay. So, you know what? Okay. So, if CM Punk and Seth Rollins continue to feud in their way, I would imagine that the original Tribal Chief is going to be feuding with Bron Breakker. I mean, the Battle of the Spears, right? So Roman Reigns versus Bron Breakker, I mean, that's actually a feud that I could actually see working. I'm sure that it would do good for both Roman Reigns and for Bron Breakker. Now, as far as Bron Breakker goes, I mean, you would expect a rematch for the Intercontinental Championship, right? I mean, I don't know. I really honestly don't know. I mean, you would expect it, but again, I don't know exactly where Bron Breakker goes from here as far as the Intercontinental Championship. I mean, technically he's owed a rematch, but I mean, I don't know. I really honestly don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Bron Breakker also kind of gets involved in a even more with Penta. But again, right now you have to wonder if Penta and Rey Fénix are going to be reunited as a team to chase the tag team titles. But again, we'll just have to wait and see. We'll just have to wait and see. So before I let everybody go, once again, I want to apologize that I did this episode despite the fact that I did not watch Night 2. Nor did I not watch Raw last night. Again, I had to do as much research as I could. I had to get as many sources as I could because I had to get the show going, because on Tuesdays, this show airs on 6ix9ine Radio, and I did not want to basically do something bad. I did not want to do the wrong thing by not giving anything. So a lot of things, as I'm reminded, it's better to have something than nothing. So again, I apologize for that I did this without watching Night 2 and Raw, but I had to get this episode out. So I hope you all understand, but I had to do it because I had to get this content out, because it's part of my routine. And again, it's part of a business deal that I have. So I'm going to keep my word. So I hope everybody understands. I do plan on going back to watch both these two. Hopefully I can do it this week, maybe before SmackDown. But again, my work schedule kicks in, and then other things that happen in life as well. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I think everything's going to be okay. But before I let everybody go, I want to remind everybody that Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and on YouTube. So if you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.